self-sufficient and to have the very basic skills of knowing how to grow food. I feel like it's not always going to be accessible to everybody to be able to get high, you know, it isn't accessible to everybody to get good quality food. And we need to start with just planting that first seed and growing for ourselves and knowing that we can depend on the food that we're producing.
So you've got an organization and a farm, Mudbone Grown LLC. When did you start and how long have you been doing what you do? And what is the intersection between what you're doing and the Youth Summit?
Yeah, so we've been farming for probably about 2 years now. Art and I started off, who is the other co-founder of Mudbone Grown, we started off growing food for families out in East County at an Arbor Lodge urban farm. And we basically just grew food for free for the community. And unfortunately, they started to build affordable housing, but it's not unfortunate because people get housing, which is great. Central City Concern was building about 50 units on that land. And so we had to look for more land to be able to grow and build community on. We felt like there wasn't enough really safe spaces for Black folks or folks of color to be able to come together around food. And food is culture. And for us, it's really about putting culture back in agriculture and kind of changing the narrative of what it means to be a Black farmer.
Wow.
So it was a perfect kind of intersection with survival of the fittest, because food is essential. And starting with, you know, around optimal health, you have to have food, mental, you know, good mental health, and also just teaching, you know, teaching the youth, really starting from as young as you can. You know, four-year-olds can get in the garden and play in the dirt and learn how to grow food. So so it's time for us to really kind of return back to that. And so that's what I'm really excited about, just sharing that with the youth at the Youth Summit.
Can old people come learn how to plant food?
Yes, they can. Okay. We've got 80-year-olds come out there with us, too,
that's
playing
wonderful.
The dirt.
Powerful stuff. You mentioned survival of the fittest. So, Imani, the theme of this year's annual Youth Summit is survival of the fittest. Can you give us a little bit of background on the Youth Summit and then talk about the theme of this year's summit?
For sure. The summit goes back to 2007 with the death of a young man, Devontae Lightfoot, who was 14 years old, who was gunned down broad daylight on a Sunday afternoon. And he was one of my former students. I taught him in 7th and 8th grade. And so at this time, he was a freshman at Benson. And so from his death, you know, I had this just vision of bringing young folks together, bringing educators, community members together for an event kind of 3 weeks after his death, just to basically have that stop point for community and for young folks to just have a moment to not necessarily mourn, but to call attention to our young folks. And that was literally 3 weeks after his death. And from there, you know, community and everyone was like, we need to do this again. We need to do this every year and every day. And so we've continued. And so we count the first one as the first annual. That's where we get to 12 coming up in 2 weeks. And so this year's theme, survival of the fittest, when we talk about East County, when we talk about Black and brown populations and displacement and poverty and economic justice and food justice and all of those things that are prevalent right now and have been for years, for me, anyone that still is surviving in Portland, in this nation, and anyone still surviving and maintaining and being able to make it and have a quality of life, you know, are the fittest, you know, at the end of the day. And so the theme is really focusing and trying to bring us back to, you know, farming and bring us back to, you know, how do we continue to live in a society that, you know, where it is hard to find quality food. So, you know, and instead of us relying on all of the institutions, why not be able to plant a seed, you know, whether it's a physical seed or also, you know, the mental seed of knowledge and information. So I'm excited about this year's summit because we've been able to continue this community and bring folks together that get it, but are actually living the work and doing the work versus just talking about it. And so, you know, Shante and Art and all the other folks that are been a part of the summit, you know, it's awesome, right? Because we're really doing the work.
That's real. It's a very inspiring environment to be in. You know, we can't ignore the fact that the level of intensity of survival for Black folks and for people of color here in Portland is on a different scale than it is in other places. I've heard a lot of people talk recently, myself included, about, you know, it's too much. We got to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get out of here. This country isn't for us. You know, this region, this city. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have those thoughts, you know, sometimes. But at the end of the day, I believe heaven and hell are states of mind and conditions that we live in. And so I'm always going to be on the side of creating paradise while I'm here, you know, so creating a place of an atmosphere where there is community, where there are, you know, people working together. You know, so as much as I have those moments of like, oh, should I go somewhere else? You know, what does Cuba look like right now? You know, what does the motherland look like? I mean, there is that desire, but at the same time, I believe that everything happens for a reason, and we are placed where we are for a reason. And so for me to leave home in terms of when I say Portland, you know, if I do that, I want to make sure that I've left something, like I've left a legacy. And so the summit is a kind of a place where we unify and we come together as community. But at the end of the day, we can build community wherever and however. So those of us that come to the summit and the workshop presenters and the vendors and all of that, like, it's a sign of we can do this every day. Right. We don't have to wait for every February to do the summit. Like, we can live the summit every single day. You know, Shante and Arthur, you know, Arthur are proof of that. They're doing it every day. Right. They're making their paradise or their way of life in what they do and how they live. So for me, I say we just got to work harder with like working towards each other versus mm-hmm. continuing to be fragmented and doing our individual things. Cause we've been trying that, which is why we get frustrated. But mm-hmm. the more that we unify and, you know, build a like minds, that energy feeds us. Right. Mm-hmm. And that keeps us, you know, with life. And then we want to keep doing this work over and over again. So I would say get closer to those that think like you. And then that's where you can have that moment of peace of mind and contentment.
So do you, Shante, grow enough food to supply local produce distributors and retail outlets?
Well, currently, so this last year, well, the answer is no, we don't. but we do provide quite a bit of food. And the reason is that we have about an acre over at the Oregon Food Bank that we grow on, and we're going to be expanding to another probably quarter acre. A partnership with Habitat for Humanity. But we don't have enough farmers. And so that's right. One of the reasons why we decided to kind of launch a Beginning Farmers of Color program. And we have, there was like a great kind of, just like people were really excited about the program. And so like more than like 95 people applied for about 10 spots.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I would have applied. when is the program open again? When can one apply?
Well, it's kind of dependent on funding a little bit because, you know, our program is a little bit different than other farmer training programs in the way that we believe in paying people. And we really looked at a lot of the barriers, you know, especially for folks of color that are wanting to become a farmer. And it takes so much kind of capital to get up and going to have your own farm. And so it was really important for us when we went after this grant through the USDA to get funding for this program that we supply our interns with not only a stipend, but also food. So they get a CSA share out of their internship. They get bus passes, tools. They're doing more than 40 workshops, and they get farm tours. They also, they get a lot. And it's really focused not only on like the technical assistance around farming, but really also around how to build a business that's going to be sustainable.
So you're like actually doing something really revolutionary in the sense that you're helping people develop the tools to be self-sufficient and self-reliant, but then also if they chose to be able to support other people in their community. That's remarkable. So you heard Shante say that funding is an issue, and you heard me say that I want to get in the program. So I urge you, where can people go if they want to fund and contribute? Is there some place online they can donate?
They could actually email me at mudbonegrown@gmail.com. You know, we're kind of small, so we're slowly building up our website. So we'd be happy to accept donations. You can just reach out through email. And you can also follow us on Facebook and see what we're up to. We kind of document on a regular basis what's happening out on the farm in regards to like being able to produce enough for distribution. We do grow food for families, and so we're part of a CSA health partnership. Last year we grew food for 20 families over in the Coley neighborhood that were Latino and Somali, and this year we're looking at growing food for those same 20 families plus youth from outside in, and also some Black elders. That's part of our Black elders oral history project.
So you guys are racist.
Here we go.
You know I'm playing, but you know there's definitely people out there who think that way. So I just wanted to give right. you guys a little something to chuckle about. But Imani, when is the Youth Summit? What are the dates? Mm-hmm. And what's the location?
Yes, so it's February 10th, Saturday, February 10th, out in East County. So the first part is from 11 to 4. Those are the workshops, the vendors, the presentations, where you can hear more from Shante and Mudbone Grown at 16570 Southeast Oak Street. And then that evening, we have a youth talent show over at Rosewood Initiative from 6 to 9 p.m. And so we have young artists, you know, from around the city of Portland that want to perform, sing, rap, spoken word, whatever they choose to perform. We provide that platform for them. And then we also have featured artists will be Mighty, who's from East County, from Portland area. And then OG1 will be spinning for the last hour. So, so Saturday, February 10th, block it out. It's going to be a powerful day. So if you can't come for the whole, you know, events or all the workshops, make sure you come for some. The schedule is on our website, so youthpdx.org. You can get the full schedule of all the workshop presenters and all the information.
Is it free?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, we always ask for a donation from the adults, but, you know, that is what it is. But everything is free. Although we'll be taking up a scholarship for Mike Crenshaw and anyone else that would like to be a farmer so that we can get some more folks out there to help us grow some food.
Ho, 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 brown giant. yes. Can you say anything about some of the highlights of years past? I know you've had luminaries. You've had like Professor Griff.
Professor Griff, yeah, he's been a couple years. Jasiri X has been down for a couple years. We've had some young student ministers that come out of the, you know, sect of the Nation of Islam, Nuri Muhammad, Salih Muhammad. We've had Jesse Muhammad, who's like the social media guru, who basically teaches young folks how to use social media for a business, you know, stop always tweeting your business, but actually create a business, you know, and find ways to help other nonprofits and other LLCs have a social media presence. And so, we've had a lot of good presenters. For me, you know, the knowledge piece is the most important, the workshops. But the attendance tends to show up for the talent show. Because that's always, you know, we always want to have a good time in a concert. So, it's something that has to be done. We do it every year. The community is always asking for it. So, it's going to be a good time.
Y'all heard it here on News from the Boo, and we hope to see you at the Youth Summit. Thank you, Shante Johnson. Thank you, Imani Muhammad, and y'all take care. Peace.
Right on. Peace.
Thank you.
Folks, this is KBOO Portland, and the time is 6 o'clock on the dot, and next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 35th Annual Real Music Film Festival, taking place January 12th through January 30th at the Northwest Film Center. New works and classics are featured this year, including Charles Mingus, Triumph of the Underdog, Chavela, Long Strange Trip, The Untold Story of the Grateful Dead, The Big Beat, Fats Domino and the Birth of Rock and Roll, and many, many more. Again, that's the 35th Annual Real Music Film Festival, taking place